Happy Advent! As we prepare to welcome Jesus once again into the world, we intentionally set aside time each day to listen, meditate, and talk to God. Preparing for Jesus involves much more than buying presents and organizing parties. The more we devote ourselves to learning about the world into which Jesus was born, the more deeply we will understand what it means to welcome Him into our world. Join us as we seek to welcome Jesus with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength this Advent season.
Welcome to our Advent podcast. I'm Rachel James, the Director of Children, Youth, and Family here at First Lutheran.
And I'm Pastor Jill, one of the pastors here.
This Advent, we are reading The First Advent in Palestine by Kelly Nikondea. And we invite you to read along with us. And today we're talking about Chapter 4, The Mothers of Advent, Mary and Elizabeth. So Mary's older relative, Elizabeth, they both are pregnant in unexpected ways, in unexpected times. And after Mary hears from the angel, she rushes to the village where Elizabeth lives to meet with her. And I love this story of how when she arrives, before she even greets Elizabeth, somehow the baby that Elizabeth is carrying, which will be John the Baptist, recognizes Jesus as a fetus and moves within her. And then Elizabeth interprets this move, and it's a different kind of prophecy, I guess, baby prophecy. And Elizabeth speaks out and says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." And if you're Catholic, you know this prayer, and all of us know this. But what I didn't know until I read this chapter is that first part of it, "Blessed are you amongst women," is a refrain that comes from the Old Testament that is used in Jewish history to speak about a couple of very special women. Almost all of Jewish history has male leaders who are the prophets and the judges and the kings, but there's a few stories of where women come into the story and change the trajectory. The first story is about Deborah, who becomes a judge of Israel and then ends up being a military leader, and she leads the army, and they call her blessed amongst women. And the other story is about a regular woman who commits an act of violence to end a war. Her name is Jael, and she drives a tent peg through a guy's head. And it's, the story is crazy. They've used violence, but those are the women who are called blessed are you amongst women because they were able to do what the men couldn't at those times, and it was through violence. But here we hear Elizabeth saying to Mary, "Blessed are you amongst women, and not for violence, but because blessed is the fruit of your womb," which is going to be Jesus. So on page 60, it says, "Elizabeth's reprisal comes as a glorious twist. Now Mary will embody this nonviolent participation in the advent of God's peace. Advent ushered in a new era in which women were blessed for their acts of peace, not just participation in violence."
Yeah, I thought that was really interesting how somehow Elizabeth knew what was going on in the two uteros. But I'm not sure how she knew that Mary was pregnant, because she was only like 3 months pregnant. And then how she knew that Mary was blessed, because anybody else would probably have thought something terrible had happened to Mary.
Right.
Or Mary had made a really bad choice.
This unwed young woman,
yes, because she shouldn't legally have been pregnant at that time, but she was, and Elizabeth understood that it was a blessing. Mm-hmm. Also interesting about these women, like Rachel said, both unlikely to be pregnant at this time. I mean, one is maybe too young, but definitely unwed. And the other one is way, way too old. Mm-hmm. But they do have something in common. And not only were they women resisting the evils of the world peacefully, but they were about now to raise men who also were going to be peacemakers, not warriors. Mm-hmm. And warriors are usually glorified. But these men, we're going to look at glory in a whole different way. On page 63, there is a quote I like. "There must have been conversations about what it might look like to raise revolutionary men who would be part of deliverance, ending war, rather than contributing to its incessant cycles." Mm-hmm. I think about what courage it would take to stop it. And we have plenty of wars we can think about that are going on in the world today. And if one of the sides finally said, I'm not going to fight. Mm-hmm. I want peace with you. What would the world think of that? Wow. Mm-hmm. What would the other side do? Would they just annihilate them then? Or would they be open to that message of peace? And raising revolutionary men that are peacemakers is wonderful. But as a mom, I would also be really concerned about the safety of my children, knowing that they're going out into a world that doesn't understand them, and they're going to make most people really angry with them, or at least powerful people. I might have wanted them to, you know, take some self-defense classes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, even like, I like to run, and even like being a runner, people talk about the types of ways you can protect yourself. Yes. What types of secret knives do you carry, or alarms, or bear spray, or whatever it might be. And they're sending their sons out with none of that. So that must have been concerning for them.
Absolutely. And thinking about even in this time of danger, Mary didn't fight and Jesus didn't fight, and Mary overcame. And in Luke chapter 1, we hear Mary's song. It's often called the Magnificat, and it's just about her song of justice and praise to the world. If you haven't read it, it's just a beautiful opportunity. There's a part of it. It's really not even just about her and what is happening in her life and about Jesus. It's about God's kingdom coming over and changing the way that people under oppression experience the world. Even while she was pregnant and she was thinking of God's message to her, it was bigger than just her. I'm thinking of the Palestinian women who are still delivering babies, even right now this week, as their hospitals are being bombed and they're not sure. I read an article about babies are still being born and life is still happening. And this Mary had this song, and on page 67, it talks about Mary's song and her anthem. It says, "Mary's anthem tells of those brutalized by the empire, literally and metaphorically, and who will know God's recompense. Liberation will come, will overcome humiliation and stigma, and God's justice will have the final victorious word for those like her in the world." This song that Mary sings of God upends all of the empire's violent tactics to bring about this new social order. And it's going to be Jesus who's ultimately going to bring that about. He's going to be the one turning the tables in the temple, and also bringing about our peace that we are claiming for today. So,
Whenever I've heard of the Magnificat before, it's usually set to some beautiful music in church. And one of the ones we really like, or a lot of Lutherans like, is the Marty Haugen setting that we usually sing during Lent for some reason. But it's the Magnificat, and it's just so beautiful. And I always imagine Mary in this like quiet space with this really beautiful prayer, and it's just giving herself peace. But understanding that she's a woman of resistance and she's raising men of resistance, that's not really what the Magnificat is saying.
Cast the mighty down from their thrones. Down!
Right. I've always focused on lifting up the lowly, but you're right. There are some people getting cast down.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah. Well, we are so thankful for what God has done through Mary, and I think we should just pray and thank God for what's happening at the beginning of the peace movement that we're still living in to this day. Dear God, thank you so much for the mothers of Advent, for Elizabeth, who recognized what God was doing in the world through Mary and Mary's son Jesus, and for Mary, who sang about a new kind of kingdom that you're bringing about. God, we pray for this peace to be throughout our whole earth. This Advent, we pray for the people of Palestine and Israel, and for the people all around the world who are dealing with oppression and violence. We pray for ourselves as we are caught up in our busy lives. God, teach us how to look for the moments that you are calling us to work for your kingdom, bring about this new justice and this new peace. Amen.
Amen. Prayer is a sign of resistance.
There you go.
Amen.